you know, I'm kind of giving you things, but it's also very important that you do your work and that you spend your time just with yourself, going through whatever you go through based on what I'm giving you. And sometimes there's a tendency to not want to sit during those times. And I understand that, but that's a kind of resistance to your own experience, because, you know, we don't want to feel and we don't want to open up. In our culture, we have a very kind of spectator sports approach to spirituality, as you know. I mean, this is very rampant in our culture, where people go and, I'm not saying everybody, but there's a tendency for people to receive teaching, but then they don't want to spend the time themselves. And what I found with this work is it's really critical and essential and important that people are willing to sit. And, you know, when you sit, when you meditate, a lot goes on. A lot goes on. And you're really sort of in a very kind of naked relationship to your own experience and your own hope and your own fear and your own pain, your own unresolved problems. But that's actually very much part of the work, is that kind of contact. And as I've been saying here, when we're very present to our experience, then experience heals itself. And I want to encourage you to take complete and full advantage of the sitting periods, because believe me, that's when you integrate what I'm doing. That's when it gets integrated and worked into your system. So the other thing is, I've been encouraging you to trust your experience. And the question comes up that people don't trust their experience. And you see, this is one of the ironies of modern culture. Lack of trust in experience is what produces neurosis and serious mental problems. Lack of trust. And on the other hand, healthiness, you know, health comes out of trusting experience. And we actually have it backwards in our culture, because many people believe that the way they can survive and maintain themselves is by distrusting themselves, distrusting their experience, feeling that they have to medicate themselves, that they have to distract themselves, that they have to keep busy so they don't have to face themselves. Many, many people actually believe that's how actually you can live a good life, is by never really trusting yourself. And a lot of times, you know, if you ask people, they wouldn't say, well, no, my strategy is just mistrust everything. They won't tell you that because they don't really know it. But that actually is the way we go about things. And it often comes up in this context and when I teach meditation, because I'll say to people, you need to relax, you need to open and simply allow your experience to have room. And they go, well, I can't do that, or I don't want to do that. I don't trust my experience. But here's my question. If you don't trust your experience, what do you trust? Do you trust a psychiatrist over your own experience? Do you trust drugs over your own experience? Do you trust external authorities over your own experience? Do you trust alcohol? Do you trust sex? Do you trust TV? Do you trust compulsive shopping, compulsive eating over your experience? In modern culture, most of us would answer yes. And the message of Buddhism, the message of the Dharma, is that we have been taking refuge in things that are not ourselves for too long. And the more we take refuge in what is not us, the more sick we become and the more confused and alienated and disconnected. And sometimes we have a very sophisticated logic. I mean, you know, we say, well, I have work. I'm sorry, I have to leave this program early. I have work to do. What is more important than what we're doing here? What is more important than actually working with ourselves and each other in a sacred way? Many people feel, well, you know, I've got 2 hours to do this sacred work, and then I'm going to spend the rest of the year doing something else because it's more important. The level of distrust in that situation is so sad, because the only thing that will ever heal us is our own experience, our own naked, spontaneous human experience. And I'm not just talking about when we feel good. I'm talking about when we feel anything. Anything that we feel, anything that we're willing to open to, is healing for us. One of the reasons that I do so much work with the earth is because we need to feel enough grounding in the eternal feminine, in the earth, in the mother, whatever you want to say, so that we have the wherewithal to accept our experience. Experience is healing. All experience is healing, believe it or not, no matter what it may be, no matter how painful, pleasurable, peaceful, turmoil, whatever, it's all healing. So really, you know, if you want to boil the message of Buddhism down to one single thing, is learning to develop trust in who we are and in our lives. You know, many people have really latched on to the idea of trauma as their reference point and their identity. The thing is, we are all traumatized. You have to realize this. Everybody is traumatized. And to paraphrase an old saying, there are two kinds of people. People who know that they're traumatized and people who don't. But everybody's traumatized. Trauma is the freezing of the human ego around painful experience, and everybody has it. But even trauma that we call trauma, and even very serious freezing, the way you release it is by experiencing it, by relaxing and opening and allowing the experience to flow. And again, you know, being in the body is a necessity. Connecting with the earth is a necessity, because without that, we're just a head. We're just a walking, talking head. And the head can't endure anything. So we do have to be in the body to release and resolve trauma. We do have to be connected with the earth. But once we do, it's very straightforward. If you've read Peter Levine's work, trauma is part of just sentient life. And animals and humans go through all kinds of trauma. I mean, we think we have trauma. What if you're a gazelle that almost got eaten by a lion? And they just shake it off, you know? If you've ever seen movies of what they do, they tremble very, very quickly. They'll get up after just escaping from a lion, and they just shake for a while, and then they're fine. Trauma is natural to human life, and so is the release of trauma, but there has to be some level of trust, actually, in our experience, in our human body, in our human emotions, and that's what is so often missing in our culture. There's so much fear around simply feeling something. So the body knows what we need, because the body is our deeper self. And the body knows how much we can handle, because the body is our deeper self. And the body will, if we listen to it and we stay with it, it gives us what we can handle, but no more. This is the problem with interventionist techniques in relating to any kind of emotional problems, where you give people drugs, you give them acupuncture, you induce them, you know, you try to talk them into going places. Intervention is dangerous, because intervention depends on other people who really don't actually know. They don't really know. Nobody knows you and your timing, but your body does. The body is trustworthy. The body knows, and the body will never give you something you can't handle, provided you stay with it. You need to stay with the body. So trust is, you know, somebody might say, well, can you prove to me that trust works? Can you prove to me and guarantee that if I trust my experience, everything's going to be okay? But in spiritual work, there are no guarantees. There can't be. It wouldn't be right. Let me be back in the sort of baby in the crib situation with a bottle in his or her mouth, where there's no journey. You know, what the universe asks for us is that we actually take a chance on ourselves. And that's what trust is taking a chance. It's like in human relationships, there are people that we trust. And my sort of way of thinking of it is, basically you can't trust anybody. Isn't that true? Even your closest friend, you can't trust anybody. Not really. In other words, you can't trust in the sense that you have a guarantee that the other person's going to be a certain way. Would you agree with that? What is trust then? Trust is willing to take a chance on the other person. Trust is something we do. It's not something we have. There's a sort of pre-Oedipal kind of trust where we sort of we want to feel that the other person is totally and totally reliable and completely guaranteed. But that's not adult trust. That's the trust of a small child that needs to feel that way, even though it's not true. They need to feel that way so that they can develop. And the adult kind of trust is you realize that you can't trust anybody, and even in that situation, you're willing to take a chance on other people. There's certain other people in your life that you're willing to take a chance on. And you know you're jumping off a cliff, and you know it's risky, and you know that it may not work out, and therefore you're all the more willing to do it because you realize that either you love in that way or you don't love at all. Either you love with uncertainty or you don't love at all. So the body is the sort of deepest ally and deepest friend we could ever have. And, you know, the body is, you know, as far as reliability, from one point of view, I'd say yes, 100% reliable, unlike anything else in life, except, of course, for life itself. Life itself is 100% reliable, but the details of life aren't. But I would say the body is 100% reliable. But my saying it doesn't mean that when I have to take a chance on myself, it's guaranteed. It's not guaranteed. I have to leap. I have to leap. I have to be willing to jump into that empty space of uncertainty in order to grow as a person. So there's not much to say. I mean, that's what's at stake here. It's kind of what I've been saying, you know, ever since you arrived. On the other hand, you know, these teachings that I'm giving you go back a long time. And they have, I mean, many people who've practiced them and many people who have achieved everything that is possible for people, you know, through doing these. One thing about the body is the more in touch you are, the more you have a sense of your own future and where you need to go. And a lot of things get resolved simply by working with the body, as we've talked about with those seven eyes that I was mentioning. Two human eyes. The really human eye, which we could say is it's not really human because it sees everything impartially, but that's really human. That's really human. The Buddha said, you know, I'm not a god. I'm not a supernatural being. I'm a person who has found the full potential of the human life. I'm human. So this is really the human eye. And then the hands that see and the feet that see. So this is our aspiration. The other thing I want to encourage you in, a lot of things are going to come through to you, and it's important that you enjoy the experience of the glimpses of your own future, your own fullness, your own completeness, and at the same time, don't feel that you need to hang on to them. Don't feel that you need to hang on to whatever happens. The journey progresses, you know, you see, you experience the life and death of the universes, and then you have to disown it and move on. You see your own beauty, you see your own perfection, you experience a tremendous amount of sense of peace, and be with it. But then when it begins to decay, which it does, because that's how the journey works, that we experience things and then we move on, just disown it and move on. A lot of things are going to happen. And the more you practice, the more intense the moments of understanding and realization, and the more intense the moments of freak out. It's all part of the journey. But even if you completely freak out and you realize I'm completely insane, I can never do it, I'm no good, you know the stories that go? Just notice it, disown it, and move on. This is not a new trauma, don't worry. I mean, we could feel that, oh, I've just uncovered a new trauma from my childhood. Our whole entire human life is a trauma. Being a human being is a deeply, deeply traumatic experience. And some of us who have focal points of trauma, actually in some sense, they're the lucky ones because they have something they can really chew on and work with. Some of us just drift along and we can't, it's so horrible and so terrible, the whole thing, and the pain that we have suffered since we were born, we actually can't take it and can't relate to it. So if you happen to be a person who has a focal point, in a way it's a blessing because then there's something you can really dig into. And when you open that up, you open your whole life up. And maybe all of us have those things. And maybe we just don't know it. Could be. It's possible. I mean, I think in the first year of life, the assault, when you watch little babies and what they usually go through, the assault from these huge, monstrous beings we call parents, who are normally completely freaked out. They fight. They have these terrible fights. I mean, what is that for? Like for a little baby? All parents of newborn babies have probably the worst fights that they will ever have in their whole marriage. Just because of the stress, they're so freaked out. What is that like for a little baby? It's like the world's coming to an end. Well, all of us have multiple things like that in us, and it's the human situation. So, and they've been doing, you know, parents have been fighting for 3 million years. And somehow it's been okay. I mean, people work through it. So all we need to do, once again, is just relax and let the feelings come through. Even if it's tremendous anxiety or fear or despair. I mean, these are feelings. It's like weather. There are many people here who love, I don't know, maybe not many, but there's some people that love thunderstorms and they love the wind blowing across the prairie and they like hot days. I mean, think of your emotional life like that. Because it is like that. It's just the human version of the weather. And the thing is, we are human beings, so we take it so seriously. It's like, oh my God, now it's raining. Or now there's the wind is blowing. I've got to find my therapist. But if you look at it really just as weather, you can actually enjoy it. It's actually very interesting. And even weather itself holds those qualities. If you really pay attention to, you know, brooding storm clouds and violent rain and hail and strikes of lightning and beautiful blue days, they actually hold the very same emotions that we have as human beings. That's actually present in the weather itself if we open ourselves to it. So, again, it's a matter of really opening and trusting. Trusting. And trusting, even if, for example, we feel completely numb. You know, some people say, well, you know, I'm willing to trust myself if I can get upset. You know, if I get angry, I'm willing to trust that, or if I feel lonely. But what if I'm completely numb? I can't trust that. There must be something wrong with me. No, there isn't. That feeling of numbness is like when somebody puts a piece of ice on you and for a moment it's okay and then it's not okay anymore. It feels tight and it feels like something's being killed. And numbness is like that. It is a, strangely enough, it's a very, very highly charged emotional state, the state of numbness. So even we have to trust our numbness, even if we feel dead. I mean, if you were dead, you wouldn't feel anything. But if you feel dead, then you are definitely feeling something. And that has to be trusted. So there are no rules. It's not like there's certain things that we can trust. I'm willing to trust this, but I'm not willing to trust that. If we take that attitude, then we're not going to trust anything because we're going to be waiting around for things to fit into our particular category of trustworthiness. So the invitation of White Tara, Dzogchar in Tibetan, is to trust our life, our life, our personal life, the life that each one of us has. Trust that. Trust it. Trust is the gateway to spiritual growth. And spiritual growth is no different from human fulfillment, from fulfilling our deepest longings. That's what spirituality is. It's simply following our life. And this idea that a spirituality is different from life, as I said yesterday, it's a big lie. That spirituality is different from life, and then by exiting life, we become more spiritual. It's the big lie. Being who we are, following our inspiration, taking chances on who we are, following our own craziness, exploring the world, hearing what calls us, voicing our own uncertainty, our own pain. That's what spirituality is. And the deeper we trust ourselves and the more we are willing to allow our life to be a river that is flowing and running and cascading down the mountain, the more we will become spiritual people, fulfilled spiritual people. We need to redeem our lives. We need to redeem our bodies. We need to redeem nature. We need to redeem this world. And the redemption of matter is the basis of Vajrayana Buddhism. That's what it's all about. Overcoming the idea that matter is lower, and that the material world is not where it's at, and that the body is not the locus of enlightenment. You know, Vajrayana Buddhism, which is what really we're studying here, we're not studying the sort of plastic kind of Vajrayana that is spread throughout the world now. We're studying the inner teachings of this tradition according to Chogyam Trungpa. And we're studying them because we want to live. We want to live. We want to, before we die, we want to experience our life in all of its potential fullness and all of its beauty. And this is what we're doing. And to do that, the price of admission is trust. Willingness to trust our bodies and willingness to trust what arises from our bodies as we do the work. Trust. 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 Trust.